Amen. A few weeks ago, Pastor Rusty asked me if I would preach. And in Ground Zero, we've been on about a three-week series called Meek. And I wanted to kind of combine all 3 weeks of that together and bring it to y'all and share it with you. And it's from a very famous passage out of Matthew called the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus preached his most famous sermon. It's in all the Gospels. You can go to Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to be this morning. I believe it's 5, 6, or 7, or 4, 5, 6. You can look in there. And about those 3 to 4 chapters, he teaches the Sermon on the Mount, which is incredible to read, incredible to study. And we're just going to pull one small verse out of this, and I want to dive into it a little deeper. Before we do that, let's just pray and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that as I speak, it's not my words, but your words. Father, I thank you that you would speak through me. Father, I thank you that there's nothing I could do. There's nothing anyone in this room could do to hinder what you have for us today. I pray our hearts are open and ready to receive. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. And it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, in this passage, Jesus goes through a whole series of blessed are the weary, blessed are the brokenhearted, blessed are the sorrowful. And he says, for they'll get this, gain that, inherit this, inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes through this whole sermon. And it's very interesting. I would encourage you to read it this week and look deeper into it. But this one says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, obviously, as soon as you hear the word meek, my mind goes straight to weak, right? You know, blessed are the weak, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, we're going to focus on the word meek this morning. Before we do that, I want to focus on the last half of that verse, and it says, for they shall inherit the earth. In other scriptures in Matthew 5, he says, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Many scholars believe that those two things maybe could translated one and the same, that you'll inherit the earth or you'll inherit the kingdom of God. But I want to show you a couple of cool things. You back up all the way to Genesis chapter 1, God creates the heavens and the earth. God creates Adam and Eve, and he places them in the garden, okay? So if you look at that, that was the original plan. That was not supposed to fail, okay? That was the original plan, was man and woman on the earth. And the Bible says that God was in heaven. The Bible says that God would come down to the earth. It says that he came down in the cool of the evening to be with the man, to be with Adam. So from the very beginning, man was on the earth and God was in heaven. Okay, now, you know, in our age or culture or time or even in our religion, what do we think? We think that heaven is the end goal. Heaven's like this end result. Right, there's that country song that says, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but just not right now. And I think that we say those things because we don't fully understand. We don't actually get it. We can't comprehend it. Okay, but here's the cool thing, is heaven is not your inheritance. Heaven is not the end goal. The earth is. The earth was always supposed to belong to us. What did God tell Adam and Eve? He said, be fruitful and multiply. Right, and that meant, you know, them to have children, and it meant the garden too. God told him, hey, expand the garden, make the garden grow. So when it says, for they shall inherit the earth, I think it means two things. One, I think it means you'll inherit the earth right now, today, right? And what do I mean by that? I think that God's going to bless us. Hey, for the meek shall inherit the earth. Everybody knows what an inheritance is. It's something that's left for you, right? It's a gift, not something you earn. It's a birthright. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you're meek, right? If you're meek, and we're going to get into that in a minute, what that means, it says that you shall inherit the earth. So what I want you to understand is that heaven is not the end goal. Heaven is a holding place. Jesus is going to return for the church. Now I don't have time to get into all the details of that. Jesus is going to come back for the church, right? We're going to go to heaven for 7 years. Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to throw the devil and the false prophet in the fiery pit and in the lake of fire. And then what are we doing? We're coming back to the earth. The Bible says that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible says that a new Jerusalem will be sent out of heaven, right down to the earth, and we will live on the earth, and it'll be restored and perfect, and that is your inheritance, right? That is our future inheritance when Jesus returns, but I believe right now in our lives as we're meek that we will inherit the earth, and we will inherit, and you know, I think that means everything that that is kind of racing through your mind, that's racing through my mind. Right, I think it just means blessing. I think God's going to take care of us. I believe that good times are ahead. Right, you know, we've been praying for rain, and I've heard people say, you know, if it doesn't rain, it's not going to be good. Right, it doesn't look like rain's coming. It doesn't look like this is going to happen. Right. But my Bible says different, right? My God says different, and that's what that means. So I want to jump into blessed are the meek, and what does meek mean? Now, obviously, the Bible was not written in English. When you tell kids that in Ground Zero, some of them can have a shocked look on their face, like, holy cow, what do you mean it wasn't written in English, right? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. Now, the Gospels, Jesus spoke Aramaic, and most likely the Gospels were written in Aramaic and then later translated to Greek and then sent out to the churches. If you go read the book of Acts, that's all about the start of the church and all those letters that Paul wrote, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, those are all books to churches, right? The church of Rome, the church of Corinth, the church of Ephesus, and those were letters sent out. So they probably took the Gospels and they translated those to Greek and then sent those out to those churches because Greek was a much more well-known language. So when we look at words like blessed are the meek, we can go back to the Greek and see what the original word was. And the original word in Greek was praeus. And what this word means is strength under control. Now, back in those days, Rome had control of much of the Middle East. They controlled, you know, you can go back and look up the Roman Empire and how much they controlled. We know that the Romans crucified Jesus, right? The Jewish people took them to Rome to have him crucified. So they controlled much of that. So what would happen is the Romans and even the men of the Middle East where Jesus was born, you know, Jerusalem and Nazareth and Bethlehem and Galilee and all that area, they would go up into the mountains. And they would go up into the mountains on horseback and they would round up wild horses. There was wild Mustangs in those mountains. And they would bring those horses down. The Romans, you know, would bring them down into their fort or into their camp and they would corral them and put them into pens. The men of that day would corral and put them into pens. And what they would do is they would then break those horses. Now, I'm no horse expert, but I've seen a few good Westerns. So I can imagine, you can imagine with me, you know, there's a round pen, some young green soul goes out and jumps on the back of that horse with a rope tied around it and hangs on for dear life till he quits bucking. And they would break these wild horses. And what they would do is they would split them into three categories. Some of these horses they would let go. They either weren't good horses, they just, you know, they weren't cut out for it. So they let these horses go. Then there was a second group of horses, and they would make these horses general kind of population horses in the military. So, you know, they're around the camps, the forts, general transportation, maybe pulling a wagon. Then there was the third group of horses. These horses were used for battle. These horses were used, you know, for a soldier to ride into battle. These horses were used to pull a chariot into battle. And the Romans would use the word praeus to define these horses. So when they would break them, they would split them into groups, and they said, this group is praeus, which means they have strength under control. You can imagine the kind of horse you would have that could ride into battle. Right, that could ride into a group of other men, either riding at you or running at you or screaming at you, what kind of horse that would take to do that. And so they broke these into these three groups, and it meant strength under control. So blessed are those who have strength under control, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, this makes me think of a couple of movies. One of the movies it makes me think of is The Last Samurai. This is kind of an older movie. Tom Cruise is in it. It's a great movie. And he is fighting. They go to train some Japanese armies to fight. I think the year is like 1870s. And they're fighting the samurai. And the samurai are just these feared people. and the soldiers that have to fight them are terrified of them, even though they're coming at them. You know, the samurai are showing up with bow and arrows and swords, and the armies have guns. They're just terrified to death of these samurai, and they're just legend. And so they go into battle, and Tom Cruise, they get defeated, and he gets captured. And he gets taken by the samurai back deep into the mountains into their village. And what he finds out is that they're a very humble people. They're not savages, right? They're not mindless, right? What do? They care for him. They heal his wounds. They're polite. They feed him. You know, he's not locked in some dungeon, but he's in a home with a family. And they take great care of him. And what does he find out? Right, he finds out they have preus, they have strength under control. I could kill you in the blink of an eye if necessary, but I'm not going to. They have strength under control. Now, another movie it makes me think of is Secretariat, which if you have not seen this, is a true story of the greatest racehorse that ever lived. And if you have not seen this movie, it's on Disney. You got to rent it, find it, buy it, borrow it, steal it. Don't steal it. And you got to watch that movie today. It is an incredible movie. It's a great family movie. Your kids can watch it. Do not watch The Last Samurai with your kids, okay? Disclaimer. Don't go home and be like, hey, Kurt said to watch this. No, I didn't. Watch Secretariat. And Secretariat is a racehorse, the greatest racehorse. And he was a very large horse. And he his owners and the people that worked with him and the trainers, they called him Red. He was kind of a red-looking horse, and they called him Red. And he was kind of lazy. When they would load him into the chute, he would lean back on the back of the gate and kind of rest. You know, most racehorses, you need to be up and ready to go. And he would always kind of come out of the gate last. He would kind of come out, and as they're going through those races for the Triple Crown, in there, he's riding in the movie, his jockey's riding, and they're in the very back, and his jockey kind of leans down, and he says, Red, I'm sick of eating dirt. And that horse cuts to the outside, and they cut around, and he goes on to win the Triple Crown. And as you look at this racehorse, this is just strength under control. This is the exact, it sums up what the word preus means. The verses that she says that quote during the end, and that's out of the book of Job, chapter 39, and God is speaking to a man named Job, and I want to read those to you. This is Job 39, verse 19, and God is speaking, and he says, have you given the horse its strength or clothed its neck with a flowing mane? Did you give it the ability to leap like a locust? Its majestic snorting is terrifying. It paws the earth and rejoices in its strength when it charges out to battle. It laughs at fear and is unafraid. It does not run from the sword. The arrows rattle against it. The spear and javelin flash. It paws the ground fiercely and rushes forward into battle when the ram's horn blows. It snorts at the sound of the horn. It senses the battle in the distance. It quivers at the captain's command and at the noise of battle. Now we're talking about the meek shall inherit the earth. And meek means preus, which was a term that was used for wild horses that were turned into war horses. And I think this movie so captures what that might look like. And now you could take the fastest horse, but if he has no control, it doesn't matter. I could throw a football from field goal to field goal, but if I can't control where I put that ball, it doesn't matter. I might be the best basketball player, but if I can't control that on the court, it doesn't matter, right? You could take any sport. You know, if you're in baseball and you can throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, but you can't control it and put it where it needs to go, it doesn't matter. And our lives are the same way. See, our strength comes from God. Acts 1:8 says that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power. See, when you got saved, when you received Jesus, you received the Holy Spirit. You invite the Holy Spirit in, which is the Spirit in the presence of God, and he gives you power. He gives you strength. And then what does God call us to do? He calls us to control that strength, right? You have natural abilities and giftings. The book of James in the New Testament, which was the brother of Jesus, he wrote about this, and he wrote about your tongue. And he talked about how that your tongue was like the bridle in a horse's mouth. And if you've ever ridden horses, you know that you put a bridle in their mouth and that you pull on the reins whichever way you want him to go. Right where you want that horse to go. You pull up to slow him down, and hopefully that horse has some control and listens to your commands. He talks about a boat and how that a boat has a rudder, and wherever you point that rudder is where that boat would go, right? We have a small fish and ski boat with an outboard motor, which just means the motor hangs on the back of it, right? When you turn the steering wheel, it turns that motor, and wherever you turn that motor is where that boat will go. Right? And your tongue is the same way. Whatever you speak is where your life is going to go. Proverbs said, and Pastor read this just a few weeks ago, maybe it was last week, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. So what does that mean? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You speak death, you're going to eat the fruit of death. You speak life, you're going to eat the fruit of life. We're talking about being meek, right? Having strength under control, having my emotions, my anger, my tongue under control. That when I speak life. See, I don't speak negative about my boss or my situation or my family or my in-laws or over my kids or over my marriage or over my finances, right? What do we choose? We choose to speak life. And not all the time do we get it right. Not all the times do we do that. And that's why it's so important to come to church to be reminded of how we should be speaking. That's why it's so important that God gave you a husband, God gave you a wife to remind you of that, right? God put family and friends around you to remind you of that, of how we should be speaking, right? I should have strength under control. See, these wild horses had to submit to his master. I can't imagine riding a horse into battle and how that horse has to trust its rider completely. And the rider has to trust that horse completely. See, in Secretariat had to trust his rider. He had to trust that jockey that he knew what he was doing. He had to trust the horse that the horse knew what he was doing. Right? They submit. That horse had to submit. And we're called to do the same thing. We're called to submit to Christ. In Matthew 22, 37, it says, Jesus replied, he's speaking to a group of Pharisees that are trying to trip him up and ask him trick questions. And he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What does that mean? That means I submit everything to God. I submit everything to God. I trust God completely. And what do we do so famous in our culture and in our time is we compartmentalize things. Hey, God, I'll give you this part, but I can handle this part. God, you can have this, but I've got my business under control. God, you can have this, but I've got my finances under control. God, my finances need help, but I've got this marriage thing figured out. Right, God, my kids need a lot of help. I need a lot of Jesus on my kids, but maybe I'm doing okay. And see, that's not what Jesus wants. That's not what God wants. He wants everything. He wants all of you. He wants the whole thing. And maybe what we need to do is take some time and say, hey, God, where is that in my life that I need to give that to you? See, being meek is not about being weak. It's not about, laying down and I don't have an opinion and I'm not going to say anything and I don't want to upset anybody, right? Jesus was crucified for his opinions, right? And we make sure that our opinions line up with his opinions, and that we don't throw in, politics and economics and government and kind of my growing up and what my parents thought and kind of stirred into a pot and poured out is, well, this is what Jesus said. I go to the Bible and I say what he says. When we go to men's retreat, we ride razors and ATVs and side-by-sides. And one of the scariest things you'll ever do in your life is get in with another man and let him drive you through the mountains. There's no more trust in the world than to get in a go-kart made for adults, put on this flimsy little seatbelt and say, now let's go. I mean, I'm serious. It's the most terrible. They have this little T-bar on those razors where you can hold on to, right? Because you're going to need it. And nothing will pinch you up quicker, make you float in the air, put your feet on the dash than riding with somebody. I mean, there are people at men's retreat, there are men that I'm not riding with that person, right? They have an empty seat. I don't care. I will stay here and soak in the hot tub. I'm not, right? You're terrified. If you ride with Bray Bird, you're putting your life in that man's hands. And that is dangerous, right? That's just scary. Okay? And the same thing for us is, hey, God, I'm going to trust you with everything. I'm going to trust you with all of it. I'm going to fully go head first, all in, hold nothing back, and trust you. And then, hey, God, when you call me to be meek, when you called me to live this way, one of the things we've been talking about in Ground Zero is staying humble and hungry. I think these are the two greatest things you can do in your life. Think about humility. What does that mean? That means I know that I could learn something from everybody in this room. I'm not smarter than, you don't go into something with arrogance, right? But hey, I know that everybody in this room has something that I can learn, right? And hungry is I always want more. I always want more. I'm never to that point of satisfied, oh, I've got enough God, I've got enough church, I've got enough of this, right? If you play sports and you have the greatest win of your life, hunger is you're back at it the next day. If you play sports and you have the biggest loss of your life, hunger is you're back at it the next day, right? And so we should stay humble and hungry and submit our lives to Jesus. If you would, bow your head and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this message. Father, I thank you walk us through how to be meek, what that looks like, what it looks like to submit our lives. Father, if there's a part of our life we haven't submitted that we've held on to, and we won't let go. Father, I pray this week you reveal it to us, even today, right now in this very moment. Awaken our hearts, open our eyes, and show it to us where we're not letting go of something, where we're not giving it to you. Whether maybe it's something good, Father, maybe it's something bad that we need to let go and give to you, Father. And I pray that you would walk us through that in our everyday lives. You would show us how to be meek, show us how to have strength under control, how to control our tongue, control our emotions, control our anger. Father, and that we would glorify you in everything. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, before we go, I know that word is spreading pretty fast through town. And I just wanted to let everybody know that Megan and I are moving. We're moving to Pampa. I took a job there as a youth pastor at another church. It's much like this church. We're going to be leaving kind of the middle to the end of this month. It all kind of depends on how our house lines up and how that falls. We've been praying about it. It's been a struggle. It's been a hard decision to make. We love TCF. I mean, you know, both of us grew up here, but I just really feel like this is what God's telling us to do. And so I would love and to receive your continued prayers for us. We're going to continue to pray for y'all. I told First Service that, you know, my parents live here, Megan's parents live here, so we'll be around some, not too much, but some. You could have laughed right there, but it's okay. So, you know, it's not like you'll never see us again. And so if you have any questions or want to talk to us, we'd love to talk to you after service. Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet. We love y'all, and I pray you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next weekend.